Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the West Coast Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Frias Guzman. I just want to welcome on everybody. Today is Wednesday, April 25th, 2024. Recording this podcast to go ahead and talk to you guys about all three teams. Going to be talking to you guys about the Dodgers as they are gearing up in the second game of the series going up against the Nationals in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We're going to be having Landon Knack on the mound, second start of his young career. Guy ended up doing pretty good. We'll talk to you guys a little bit about that and how I think he's going to be having another great start and potentially able to go in and get a win for the Dodgers in this one. We'll also be talking to you guys about the Lakers and, unfortunately, of the two losses going up against the Denver Nuggets. And, of course, the unfortunate loss the other night with that amazing shot, you know, by Jamal Murray. You know, really can't hate on that or anything like that. I had some time to go in and reflect and everything as I was really trying to go in and record yesterday, but unfortunately had I wasn't feeling all that great and everything, but wanted to make sure to get a podcast going for you guys today. Lastly, of course, we will be talking, well, maybe not in that order, but we'll be talking about the Raiders, as the Raiders got they have a whole bunch of things going on with the draft being only a couple days away. Sounds like they might be trying, they might attempt to go ahead and move up into the draft in order to maybe get a good quality, you know, rookie quarterback, in order to go ahead and, you know, spice things up, in order to really go ahead and, you know, intrigue a lot of people, you know, in order to go ahead and get that young star quarterback, you know, hopefully in the draft. We'll talk about all that here, as it is going to be an interesting podcast here, guys. I definitely ended up collecting a whole bunch of information in order to go and release this podcast, as I didn't want to come to you guys, you know, kind of half-hearted or, you know, half, you know what. But with that being said, though, guys, let's get right into it. Hope you guys have been having a great week so far. Hope you guys have been having a, you know, just great April and everything, as it is kind of winding down. But let's get right into it here, as I wanted to go ahead and just start off with all the news with the Raiders that's going on with the draft and everything. You know, at first there were some talks that the Raiders were not entertaining the idea of moving up in the draft. I know that kind of went out the door real quick as soon as like some rumors came around that, you know, Jaden Daniels out of LSU was maybe not really feeling the idea of being drafted so high with one of these teams that are there, like the Commanders or something like that. And himself, as in Jaden Daniels, has not actually said anything like that. But we never know what's being said in these interviews or anything like that. Now, of course, if you're the Washington Commanders, you have nothing to lose. Or really, I mean, then again, though, you don't want to go in and tarnish the reputation of a young man, especially going into the NFL draft. But if he is talking to you guys like that in a meeting, who do you care if you go in and put that out there, make it look bad for him, you know, for other teams? Now, that might actually play in our favor, because if it is that Jaden Daniels, for whatever reason, ends up falling in the draft, because at first it sounded like, you know, there was only three really for sure quarterbacks that were going to go and be drafted early in this draft, and for one, it was going to be Caleb Williams. It sounds like he's for sure going to be a bear no matter what. I don't really think any other team is going to be able to go and offer anything. I mean, who knows? There's been crazier things that have happened in the draft, you know, but we'll definitely have to wait and see what happens. From the sounds of it sounds like the Commanders are not going to move away from their pick at number two. Who they pick at number two, I don't know. It sounds like it's going to be Jaden Daniels. I would pick Jaden Daniels. I'm pretty sure almost every other team in the league would pick Jaden Daniels, but we'll definitely see what happens with that. Again, crazier things have happened. There's been some rumors that maybe McCarthy out of Michigan, which a lot of people think that that's the better way to go, especially because the guy has had some experience, you know, being in big time games. He's a little bit younger. You have some people saying that maybe Bo Nix maybe might even go over to the Patriots or something like that, you know. So we'll definitely have to go ahead and see what happens with that. It sounds like they might stay put at number three. And again, if for whatever reason, if Jaden Daniels is out of there too, I don't know what to tell you guys. I mean, it definitely sounds like They're both teams are kind of open to trading back, but reports have kind of said otherwise. So it's really difficult in order to get a good grasp on what's going to happen. But my main thing is that I wanted to talk about on here is what the reports have been saying about Antonio Pierce, and Telesco, our new GM. So with these guys, it sounds like they have overall said it openly. They're going to go ahead and be, they're going to be aggressive. They're going to go to make sure that they get a good, or that they can move up. If there's that opportunity, it sounds like they're going to make the calls, because it sounds like they've already made some calls over to Washington, and maybe that's why some of the reports have came out that they're not going to be moving away. Now, again, draft day, things change. It might be a possibility that they call up and they start talking to people saying, hey, what's your final offer? I'm trying to get out of this spot. Give me your final offer, whatever it may be. Now, I've seen some crazy, and when I'm saying crazy, guys, I wish I might start doing a video podcast so that way you guys can start looking at my face and seeing my reactions to this, because this is nuts. All right. I think if I don't, that's my only concerning thing. Now, I get it. You have to be aggressive, and if there's an opportunity, you have to go for it. But to what extent, to what expense, you know? I really don't like, because there's been rumors talking about that if the Raiders are trying to move up with the up to number two to go and take the Commanders, or to go and get that spot with the Commanders, they want a left tackle. I'm like, okay, we'll give them a draft pick and they can go get a left tackle, right? That's my thought. You know, give them whatever draft. To me, draft capitals, that's cool. I mean, if you're really trying to hunt for something to change, to ultimately change your franchise around, do it. But to what extent? I mean, give them all the draft capital you want. You know, you give them the draft capital from this year, give them our 13th, our second round pick in this year. If they want some other later picks, like all the ones that we have in fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever, seventh, who cares? They can have next year's first and second too if they want. Whatever. I really don't care when it comes down to those picks, because in those picks, there's no guarantee. At that point, once you have a star quarterback, and you have some other, because we already know that at least the offense for sure, they should be solid. We have a star wide receiver in Devontae Adams. All we need now is just a quarterback that's going to be able to get that ball in his hands. And yeah, you can argue maybe Gardner Minshew can do that. And why do we need to go ahead and get a star quarterback? But if this guy really is what he's, you know, what everybody's saying he is, I mean, dude just win a Heisman Trophy award and everything this and that. I ain't trying to go ahead and discount any of that or anything, but it sounds like Antonio Pierce, I mean, he ended up coaching him back in, I think it was Arizona State or something like that. So, I mean, if the dude is legit and AP's backing him up and everything, and I mean, it sounds like, I mean, AP's been our savior type of deal, you know, so I mean, and if you guys know me, I'm a big time Raider fan, so when I say he's our savior, I mean that I'm including myself in that. I'm part of Raider Nation too, guys. So in my opinion, to be honest, go for it, you know. But I wouldn't, like, to me at that point, like, if you're really gonna give away your left tackle and Colton Miller, which there's been some reports about that, I don't know if I actually said that earlier, but who it was that we were trying to go, but like, if they want a left tackle, have them draft them, you know. Don't get rid of our for sure thing in Colton Miller, unless if we already for sure have a guy who's gonna fill in his spot. Because otherwise, you're gonna go ahead and just give away his safety blanket there, the guy that is gonna be able to protect them the most, you know, who's supposed to protect them the most, you know. But that's just my opinion. Otherwise, like, I mean, it's like you're over here, I don't know, you're getting star like the best defensive line ever with just crappy corners, you know, guys who are not going to be able to cover at all. So I mean, like they got open pass no matter what. So I mean, like even if the guys on the defensive line are able to get to the quarterback super quick, it doesn't even matter. But that again, it's just one of those things. It's like if you go too far one way, you're going to put yourself back to, you know, it's almost like you're going 3 steps forward, 4 steps back kind of deal, you know, whatever, if that makes any sense. But I just don't think it's a good idea to go too far. And of course you have to be aggressive, and if there's that opportunity, you have to go for it. But I don't think you should do it to the expense of really downgrading your team. If it's draft picks, go for it. But we'll definitely have to see. Once draft day is coming on, we'll definitely talk more about it. You know, there's been other stuff that's been kind of going around, but really the draft has been kind of just overtaking everything, you know. So we'll definitely have to see what happens as time goes on. Hopefully we can talk one more time before the draft comes around, if there's more reports about any of this stuff. But we'll for sure talk once the draft has come and gone, and talk about what kind of craziness ended up taking place. So with that being said, and to talk about craziness, guys, let's go ahead and talk about the Lakers. So if you can see my laugh, I'm trying my best to keep a positive mindset and to not, you know, stay so doom and gloom on it, because damn, that was rough, wasn't it, guys? That had to be one of the most heartbreaking, especially the way that, you know, how, like, I don't know if you guys saw in the end of the game when AD even like fell and like got into the, or like sat down like on one of the chairs in the bench for the Nuggets and this and that. It's just like, damn, like, come on, like, it, I don't know, it was just all bad. But in all honesty, I've had time to kind of think about it over and over again. But there was definitely moments where the Lakers were looking good, and it's a little gut wrenching that, you know, they couldn't play a full game that way. You know, the first half was great, kind of similar to the first game, and it's almost like they keep on getting closer and closer, like they're getting closer to the very top, to the finish line, so to say, or they're it's like almost like in a boxing match when you start to see a comeback, you know, when you see a guy who's been kind of, you know, getting worked a little bit, you know, he's been getting jabbed, he's been getting beat up a little bit because he's losing to a quicker guy, but the quicker guy is like, you know, slowing down a little bit, you know, or maybe it's the other way around, the stronger guy after all these punches, like, you know, throwing as hard as he can and this and that, and now he's a little bit gassed. And I know it kind of seemed like with the Lakers, like they were the ones who were getting gassed, you know, maybe because of the altitude and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But that can't be a damn excuse anymore. I mean, at that point, then you might as well just chalk it up that we're going to lose, because then that means that we're not going to win a single time in Denver. Like, come on. And especially after seeing that second game, it's like you were winning for the damn near 3/4 of the whole game. Well, I mean, you really were. We were up by 10 going into the fourth quarter. So it's like, you know, how, like, and it sucked because you kind of saw it happen slowly and slowly and slowly throughout the freaking fourth quarter. And I don't want to go ahead and make it seem like I don't want to get all doom and gloom and everything, you know, and to kind of recreate the whole situation, you know. My main thing is that if they could just put it together for the whole game, you know, not lose focus, or maybe it is that you have to go deeper into your bench or something like that, or play some other guys a little bit longer, whatever it is. But, and most of this stuff, it unfortunately sounds like it's all coming down to the coaching, and it's a little unfair, yeah, maybe, and this and that, to only blame it on coaching. But I mean, when it's stuff that you're responsible for, I mean, you have to kind of call the person out on it, right? I mean, it's just common sense. I mean, if you're starting to notice something in your players, I mean, if you have a guy who's hot, keep him out there. Who cares about your damn rotation? Who cares about anything like that? You know, if you start noticing some guys out there not really performing too well or this and that, if you're starting to notice the other team is making a big comeback and they're getting a big momentum swing, call a damn timeout. Stop it. stop the momentum swing from happening, or stop them dead in their tracks. Create a play or something like that that's going to get you a guaranteed bucket or a good or great look to potentially stop that look, but or to stop that run from happening. But we'll have to see. Now, again, Lakers are coming home. Maybe the home crowd can kind of give them some juice and give them a little extra something, you know. Maybe the Nuggets are thinking that it's game over, it's done with, and this and that. They come to LA a little bit early, they, you know, party it up. No, I doubt it. Maybe I'm hoping, but maybe, you know, people who live in LA, if you guys see them out there poison their drinks or something. I'm totally kidding, guys. But I mean, if you maybe drop their sandwich or something like that on the floor for a little too long, maybe the 5 second rule turns into the 10 second rule, something like that, you know, give them a little food poisoning, give them a little case of the chorro, you know, for the weekend, for the week or something like that, whatever the case is, guys, you know. So any of you guys, any of you food workers out there in LA, if you guys happen to see any of the Denver Nuggets out there, you know what to do. No, I'm just kidding, but... But in all honesty, guys, I mean, you know, with the Lakers, if it is that they're able to go ahead and piece together some, like, a really strong performance and, you know, being able to go out and come away with these two games at home, then just at that point, it just comes down to just winning one of those games back in Denver, then everything switches right on back. If they can do that, then they're definitely in some business. Now, I know that's easier said than done. That means winning potentially three games in a row, but it's possible. Now, my opinion, there's a couple different reports that it can maybe even like swing a couple things around too. Sounds like Jared Vanderbilt's expected to come back. It sounds like even Christian Wood is expected to come back as well for game three. Now, we'll definitely have to wait and see what happens. We'll have to go ahead and see how well they are, like if they're for sure 100%. Now, Jared Vanderbilt would be perfect to go and put on Jamal Murray, put some size on him or something like that. Shit, he might even be able to go in and help out with Jokic. So we'll definitely have to go in and see exactly what's going to happen. I mean, even having more size out there with Christian Wood would be definitely helpful with Jokic. You know, just, excuse me, just being able to go in and give him different looks, different players out there, you know, that'll definitely be great to go in and see. But I have to go in and see, you know, how this looks. I mean, that definitely is going to be the biggest obstacle that the Lakers are going to be having, you know. So we'll definitely have to see exactly what's going to shake down. I mean, it's going to be tomorrow. It's not, unfortunately, it's not today. So they get an extra day of rest. Hopefully that's going to be good for the Lakers. And they'll be able to go in and, you know, recover, game plan, be able to come up with a really great game plan for this game, for game three, be able to come up with that victory, and then go from there. You know, of course, you always have to take it game by game, but you can't look forward. You can't look any forward than the game that you have in front of you. So we'll see. We'll talk definitely more about this after this game. We'll talk more about the status on Jared Vanderbilt and all these other players that are expected to come back, and we'll see how everything shakes out. So, speaking of how everything's shaking out, let's go in and talk about the Dodgers. So, guys, things are kind of shaking out a little bit good here for the Dodgers as they've been getting their offense going. Shohei Ohtani's been getting the ball. You know, he's been hitting the ball very well. He ended up getting a monster home run yesterday. It wasn't really necessary for the victory or anything like that, but it definitely gave him a little cushion. It did extend out his hitting streak and everything. I think it was now 9 games or 10 games or something like that. So definitely great to go in to see that. You definitely love to go in to see James Altman. He had an incredible rookie season last year. And he was struggling a little bit to start off this season, and what you sometimes kind of would expect in the second season for a young guy, especially after coming off as such a successful one. But we have definitely noticed, you know, I've definitely noticed in the past couple games, he has hit the ball way better. The ball's always been coming off of his bat really, really fast, but it's just always finding, you know, players, always finding the position of the players for some reason, and never finding those gaps or those openings in the field. But he has been definitely hitting the ball well, as he ended up actually delivering the game winning or the go ahead run and everything from there. Kike Hernandez ended up hitting the ball very well as well. Even Miguel Rojas ended up hitting the ball very well. So it was great to go in and see that it wasn't necessarily as usual the top of the lineup, you know, who was performing, but this time it was like the more the bottom half of the lineup who ended up doing all the work and who ended up doing the the base running, or who ended up scoring the runs and everything for us. Now let's hope that they continue this and maybe even it can be a blowout, which I am hoping so to go in and see, because I can definitely see that this team has the potential to blow out every single team every single day, of course, with the lineup that they have, you know. Now is it gonna happen every single game? Of course not. Now I can definitely see in situations like even like yesterday, where the top of the rotation or the top of the lineup is really not hitting the ball incredibly well, but the bottom half of the lineup is doing very well and they're the ones producing the offense for the day. You know, that can definitely happen all the time. Or maybe it's more the middle of the lineup, whatever the case is, as we all know that this lineup is very, very good from number one all the way down to number nine. Now the thing with today's game is that there is a really great pitcher going up against us and with the Nationals. He's a bunch of strikeouts, not very many walks, but hopefully, you know, with the Dodgers, we are a little bit different of a team. We're not a team who tends to strike out as much and this and that. So definitely great. It's going to be a great matchup, in my opinion. Now, if you guys have a chance to go and watch this game, I definitely encourage you to, because if you guys haven't seen this guy pitch already before, Landon Knack, great young guy who throws the ball very, very hard. Potential guy who we can see later on down the line, maybe even later on down this season as time goes on. You know, as I mentioned in my last podcast, that the Dodgers definitely have a lot of injuries and everything in this net to the pitching staff. Slowly but surely, it seems like some of them are coming back. It seems like Walker Buehler is getting closer and closer and closer to coming back. So hopefully that is the case, that he'll be able to come back pretty soon. And then that just adds another, I'm sure, pitcher to the rotation. It'll be great to go in and see, you know, Tyler. I mean, just imagine, guys, you have Tyler Glasnow, you have Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, you have Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May. You can even throw in Shohei Ohtani, Yamamoto. You have all these pitchers who you can definitely go ahead and play. And then you have Bobby Miller. You have potentially eight guys who can end up playing, and end up pitching extended innings. You know, you have a lot of different players who'll be able to do that. So once the pitching rotation really gets healthy, just imagine all the potential there. So with that, though, the Dodgers are definitely doing well. I mean, they had a really rough start and everything, but hopefully things are kind of turning around. I could definitely see a potential for a victory on this one. Of course, I really see that the bats are going to be able to go in and kind of carry that, as I'm hoping that, you know, Landon Knack maybe doesn't get too bad. It seems like he only gave up one run in his first game, so definitely like, or one or two runs, I think it was. But you definitely would like to go ahead and see that he continues that in this game, as unfortunately he wasn't able to come away with the victory in his first game, even though he only gave up the two runs. So you definitely would like to go ahead and see that for him and working in the future. Definitely another potential for him to go and be able to do so in this game. I really do anticipate that not only our pitching and our defense is going to be able to go and keep the score down for the Nationals, but our offense is really going to be able to carry the load here for us, and we're going to be able to come up to a really fast start, being able to go and get the victory pretty early, or at least convincing lead early. But I hope I'm not jinxing myself or anything like that, as you know, sometimes I have been, but excuse me. But with that being said, though, guys, as you guys can tell, I'm still a little bit under the weather and everything here. But definitely wanted to go in and just kind of wrap up this podcast, as I wanted to go in and take some tea or drink some tea to go and be able to feel a little bit better and everything with my voice, so I can continue to record for you guys. But hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast, and hope you guys enjoy your guys' week and Wednesday. I'll definitely do my best to go in and record again for you guys tomorrow. But I hope you guys have a great day. Take care. Peace.